The sermon for tonight is based on the gospel text that we just heard read, which is the baptism and temptation of Jesus from Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 9 to 16. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for opening up the heavens and showing your love and your favor to us through your Son Jesus. Please draw us deeper into your love and help us to hear your words for our lives and our hearts on this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, it's been an incredibly busy week for me, probably the busiest week of my entire year. So if I fall asleep during my own sermon, just wake me up and remind me to finish, okay? Tonight I want to speak particularly to those among us who are beginning tertiary study, but also I'd like each of you to think of how these words apply to you in your own vocation. I'm a tertiary chaplain at Melbourne University and RMIT University, and on Tuesday I was there at Melbourne for part of their O-Week celebrations, if you can put them that way. And it's quite astonishing to see the array of different options that are open to a university student. From the socialists to the those who are Engineers Without Borders or many, many other clubs and societies that you can choose to join, new people to get to know, a whole new context, in fact, is opening up in front of those who are beginning tertiary study. The world is your oyster. It's exciting times. And you have so many choices and so many options in front of you. And yet there are also times not just of excitement, but also of challenge and change. Suddenly, Greta, Maddie, suddenly you're becoming adults who are expected to make their own decisions and to live with the consequences of those decisions. What is going to help you, and indeed each of us, to live as a follower of Jesus by God's grace in these challenging and exciting times? Tonight I'd like to investigate what Mark's gospel says about the baptism and temptation of Jesus. And I think that this passage can actually give us a really good paradigm for navigating those challenging and difficult times for our own faith in front of us. Let me just turn to that chapter. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Have you ever stopped to think about why Jesus needed to be baptized? It's clear that for us, our baptism is about forgiveness of sins. It's about being connected to the grace and the love and the forgiveness of God. But why was it that Jesus needed to be baptized? Christ is baptized not for himself, but for us. Christ is baptized, Jesus undergoes baptism, so that we too, when we undergo that washing of water and the word, may be joined to him and may have his new life. Jesus is baptized into our sin so that we can be baptized into his righteousness. And in fact, that's the beginning of his public ministry and the beginning of the time that he proclaims the coming of the kingdom of God. Christ is baptized for us, so that we can be baptized into him. And in baptism, just as God opens up the heavens for Jesus, and let me read that those verses to you, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." For Jesus, his baptism is an affirmation of his identity. "You are my Son,
says the voice of the Heavenly Father. It's the beginning of his new life of dedicated service to the will of God. And it's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what happens for Jesus happens for us. And so when God says about Jesus, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased," when we are baptized, we become sons and daughters of God. And he says the same thing of us for Jesus' sake. "This is my daughter, Mel, with whom I am well pleased. This is my son, Dylan, brother of Jesus, with whom I am well pleased." I can guarantee that every one of us is going to struggle at times with the thought or the belief or the faith that God actually loves us and is well pleased with us. Every single one of us is going to go through those doubts and questions. And when that happens, we need to remember that we are baptized. We are well pleasing to God because we have been incorporated with his Son Jesus. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 17, St. Paul writes a little bit more about this identity that we have as children of God. "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. And by him we cry, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." You are sons and daughters of the King. When Martin Luther was under incredible spiritual attack and temptation, and when he had no strength left in himself, he used to say, "But I am baptized. I am God's son. However I feel about it at this particular moment in time, this is true. This is my identity." And that's why it's such a great thing to go up there to the baptism font and to make the sign of the cross. Or in the shower in the morning to say, "I'm a child of God, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." To remember who we are and the truth that God is pleased with us for Jesus' sake. But something strange happens here. You would expect that when the heavens open and the Holy Spirit comes down and anoints Jesus for ministry, that he would go out with power and begin to do the miraculous things that God wants him to do. But instead, it says that the Holy Spirit sent him out into the desert or into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days by Satan. "What's with that, God? Aren't I your child? Why am I being tempted like this?" Temptation is par for the course for those who are sons and daughters of the King. The devil doesn't need to have a go at those who don't belong to God. He's quite happy to leave them exactly where they are. But as a child of God, you will come under temptation and attack from the evil one. There will be wilderness times. There will be times when you think that you have no strength of your own. And indeed, that may be the case. And yet Jesus has faced every temptation, and yet he has not given in to sin. And he's done that for our sake. It says in Hebrews chapter 4 how Jesus has taken on these temptations for us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way." Think about that. In every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Sometimes when I'm under severe temptation or severe spiritual attack, all that I can do, all that I have left, is to call, "Jesus, help me." That's all that I have strength for. And indeed, he does. Now, Mark doesn't describe the temptations that Jesus went through in the wilderness, but the other Gospels do. I don't know about you, but I haven't been tempted recently to turn stones into bread. That's not something that the devil often puts into my mind to do. I don't know about you. Has anyone else ever experienced that particular temptation? No, because we don't have the actual power to do that. But when Jesus is tempted by the devil after 40 days of fasting to turn stones into bread, he says, "Man shall not live on bread alone." Now, surely if he was talking about students, he would also say, no, they also need coffee and two-minute noodles. But actually, he says, no, people need the word of God. Whatever your vocation in life, whether it's a student or a worker or a mother or father, when we are under temptation, we need more than our own strength. We need the word of God to help us and to get us through that temptation. The devil also takes Jesus up on a high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and he says, "All of this can be yours. All you have to do is worship me just a little bit." Perhaps the devil gives a similar temptation to us too, a temptation to power and glory, to say, "All of this can be yours that you see. All you have to do is just a little bit of compromise. Just a tiny bit of conformity with the world around you. It will help to get you so much further. Just a little bit of worship of the God of this age, of materialism or selfish pleasure, or a tiny little denial of the truth that you are a follower of Jesus. There'll be plenty of opportunities to bow your head ever so slightly in the direction of the God of this age. But Jesus has refused that temptation for our sake as well. He refused to seek power or pleasure at the expense of others. And he gives us the strength also to say, "Well, that might be convenient, but it's not right. And I won't do it." After Jesus has spent all this time in the wilderness, he comes back full of God's power, proclaiming that the kingdom of God is near. Let me read those verses to you. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." The good news that God is pleased with you for Jesus' sake, that there is no sin that is outside of his forgiveness. The good news that in the midst of your temptation and in your wilderness times, Jesus is right there with you. And that he's as close as breath through the power of his Holy Spirit. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." And that's true for us. This gospel of the kingdom of God is good news for us. Whatever our vocation in life, I believe that the paradigm of our identity that is given to us within baptism, our knowledge of Jesus' presence with us in the midst of our struggle and doubt and temptation, and the truth that the kingdom of God is very near, is good news for each and every one of us. May God bless you this year as you live in the presence of the kingdom of God, and as you live in acknowledgement of God's good news for you through Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.